Well, good morning, everybody. And may I wish you all a very happy new year. May God richly bless you all in this coming 12 months. You're welcome to come for a cup of tea, a new year cup of tea, in the small hall after the service. You have most of the intimations, but I want to highlight the congregational board at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. The congregation's prayer time, Thursday at 10:30. And omitted on the sheet, but could we include also, please God, a note for heating, the badminton on 7:30 on Thursday. So some of the organisations are back, but not others. Next Sunday is Epiphany Sunday. And on the 19th of January, there's going to be a joint service with all the churches in town for the week of prayer for Christian unity. It'll be held in St. Cuthbert's this year at 3 o'clock. I commend to you the flower list on the front notice board. If you'd like to donate flowers for the use of the church and to give away to other people as a pastoral service, then please sign up on the notice board. And finally, if anyone would like some daily Bible readings for the year, I have a book here, free to anybody who would like one. I always like to begin a new year with this quotation. It was quoted by King George VI in 1939 in his New Year's address on the radio. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness, put your hand into the hand of God. That will be to you better than a light and safer than a known way." Let's sing to God's praise hymn 616, "At thy feet, our God and Father, we begin the year with praise." 616. As we gaze into the mists of 2020, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and we know who holds our hand. Let us pray. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, we praise and thank you for letting us live to see this day. 2000 used to be the stuff of science fiction. Now here we are at 2020. We thank you for bringing us safely through 2019. We thank you for its triumphs and for helping us in its tragedies. We thank you for its successes, and we ask you to forgive our failures. We thank you for the joys, and we thank you for comforting us in the sorrows. As the hymn Amazing Grace says, through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. 'Tis grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. We thank you for being our friend and guide through life's long journey, our constant companion on the way, as well as the one who waits to give us welcome at journey's end. Lord, we feel the freshness of this new day, this new week, new year, the start of the rest of our lives. It's like stepping on to pristine white snow, which has no footprints on it already. It's like rippling the water when it's absolutely still, when we're the very first person into the swimming pool. It's like turning a new page to begin writing a new chapter. Everything is so new and fresh and unspoilt, and we're scared that we spoil it. Rooms are clean and tidy till we start living in them. Schools are havens of tranquility until the pupils start term again. The world is a wonderful place till we humans start to mess it up. Lord, forgive us for wasting the time that you give us. Forgive us for polluting the world that you bless us with. Forgive us for abusing the people that you give us. Forgive us for committing sins against you and other people. Forgive our sins of word, thought, and deed. Forgive our sins of not speaking up, not thinking, and inaction. Merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience and forgiveness and for the second chances. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sins and prosper them again. Thank you for your love and your forgiveness and for this new fresh start again. Lord, lead us and guide us and help us to make the most of every day, of every opportunity, every talent, every resource, and every relationship with which you bless us. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So welcome to 2020. It evokes in us many different feelings. I suppose it depends if you're an optimist or a pessimist. On the one hand, there can be fear, trepidation, hesitation. What's going to happen next? On the other hand, it's a thrill, an excitement, and we look forward in anticipation. And really, I suppose there's a bit of both sides. As we peer into 2020, shrouded in mystery, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We don't know where the road's going to lead us. But we want to follow Jesus wherever he takes us. We don't know what price we may have to pay, but we count it all gain if we can be with Jesus and if we can know that we're doing his will. Life is a journey with twists and turns, ups and downs, joys and sorrows, crossroad moments, and we need Jesus as our guide. The secret of life is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Without vision, we all perish. So for this new year, 2020, the question is, have you got 2020 vision? Have you got a vision for this year? Do you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus? Where do you see it going? Well, I thought it would be appropriate at this point to test your 2020 vision. So can I just hold up my wee chart? And can I challenge, say, the back rows? Can you read that? Just shout out from the back. What's the first letter? A. Keep going then. Close. EFL. Can you do better than that? But you're at the front. I was asking the back. Let me try with another one. Right, are the back out? You can't do it. Right, try the front. First one. Well, they were laughing. I want to see what they're thinking. Well, help. It does help if you put the specs on. Well, it does have a message. This one isn't random letters. It makes up a sentence. Can you read the sentence? It says, blind as a bat in the dark. It's getting harder. That's referee level. Do you know that referees are sponsored by Specsavers? And this one, this one is, see an optician soon. Now here's one, you'll get this one, it's bigger. Even the back can maybe see that one. Yes. Nay hope at all. Right. It's no joke that my mum went to the optician recently and she got the chart unveiled. She couldn't see the chart. Well, if you're struggling, I would recommend you see an optician. But I don't mean today so much your literal vision. I mean metaphorical vision. Without vision, people perish. You have to have a vision in life of what you're trying to do, a vision of life of who you think you are. You have to have a vision in life as to why you should get up in the morning. And you have to have a meaning and a purpose to life. For that, I think you should see Jesus. There's a pop song which says, do you know where you're going to? Our vision for this coming year It's put your hand into the hand of the God-man from Galilee. That will be to you better than a light, safer than a known way. So what does Jesus, our guide and our lead, want us to do, or to be, or to go? I want to read to you from a book by Sharp and Wilson, Life is for Everyone, and it's a passage entitled, What Does God Require?, which is taken from the Old Testament. It's Amos. What does the Lord require of you? He requires you to seek him, call upon him, bow the knee, as creature before the Creator, as a sinner before the Savior. He requires you to have faith, confess your sin, repent of your sin, then confess Christ as Savior and Lord. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. What does God require of you? He requires you to obey his word, walk in his way, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He requires you to feed the hungry, give a drink to those who thirst, welcome the stranger, give clothes to the refugee, care for the sick, visit the prisoner. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. You must be born again. Trust in God, trust also in me. Remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, or about your body, what you will wear. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Go and make disciples of all nations. If anyone loves me, he will obey my commandments. We need the Bible to guide us, but we need the God of the Bible to enable us to fulfill the guidance. In Snowdonia, a very beautiful part of Wales with Mount Snowdon, there was a tour guide called Griffith. And someone shouted to Griffith one day, I see you're going to be redundant soon. Why is that? Because down at the local post office, they've got new detailed maps of the hills and the area. And he shouted back, what are they going to do if the snow has covered all the landmarks? Or if there's a mist that envelops all the sites? How are they going to get down the mountain then? We need more than advice and lots of directions. We need more than even the Bible. We need the God of the Bible, the living guide, that when the landmarks in life get obscured, when we're in mysteries and we don't see the way ahead, we need someone we can live turn to and talk to and discuss it with. So in the journey of 2020, we still need the living good shepherd to guide his live flock. He's better than a light, more useful than a road map, better than a known way. He's the author and finisher of our faith, the guide, the only one who can give us 2020 vision. Let's sing together One More Step, and you'll find it on your hymn sheets. One More Step. Now let's turn to the Word of God, to Mark chapter 10. In this chapter, there are two passages, two people who met Jesus, and two very different responses to following him. So at verse 17, Mark 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting on his way, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not cheat. Respect your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man said, "ever since I was young, I've obeyed all these commandments." Jesus looked straight at him with love and said, "You need only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, gloom spread over his face, and he went away sad, because he was very rich. Jesus looked round at his disciples and said to them, "How hard it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were shocked at these words, but Jesus went on to say, "My children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's much harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." At this, the disciples were completely amazed and asked one another, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked straight at them and answered, "This is impossible for man, But not for God. Everything is possible for God. Then Peter spoke up. Lord, we have left everything and followed you. Yes, Jesus said to them, and I tell you that anyone who leaves home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will receive much more in this present age. He will receive 100 times more houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and persecutions as well. And in the age to come, he will receive eternal life. But many who now are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And then at verse 46, they came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, take pity on me. Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, son of David, take pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Get up, he's calling you. He threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Teacher, the blind man answered, I want to see again. Go, Jesus told him. Your faith has made you well. At once he was able to see, and he followed Jesus on the road. Amen, and thanks be to God. Let's sing again from the sheets, Will You Come and Follow Me? So happy New Year and welcome to 2020. We are stepping onto the pristine, white, pure new snow, where there have been no footprints ahead of us. We're turning a new page and starting a new chapter in our life stories, our individual life stories and our corporate life story together. It's the early morning dawn of a new day, a new week, a new year, the start of the rest of our lives. Everything is so new and fresh. I'm reminded of the famous prayer, "Lord, this has been such a lovely day. I've not put my foot in my mouth once. I've not made a single mistake. I've not failed you in any way. But then I haven't got out of bed yet." Sometimes we get scared to get out of bed because we just know we're going to spoil it. At New Year, we start off with many hopes and dreams, plans and schemes. And why not? But then we quickly go on to blow it. And then we give up. And then we continue in our not so merry way, as if Christmas and New Year had never happened. Deep down, we can feel hurt and let down and ashamed of ourselves. It feeds the already low opinion that we have of ourselves. I knew I was going to blow it. As year succeeds year, and year in, year out, we fail to keep our resolutions. We give up hoping and dreaming, planning and scheming, and making resolutions. What's the point? I never manage it anyway. I'm only going to get disappointed. But what a counsel of despair that is. Might as well lie down and die, eh? Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament has a lot of that in mind. "It is useless, useless," said the philosopher. "Life is all useless. You spend your life working, laboring, and what do you have to show for it? Generations come and generations go, but the world stays just the same. It is all useless, like chasing the wind." Good grief, might as well go and slit our wrists now. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem at Christmas to give us life. Life in all its fullness. Jesus has hopes and dreams, plans and schemes for us, even if we give up. Jesus came specially to find the lost sheep who couldn't find their way back home. Jesus came specially to get the prodigal sons. He went into the far country to bring us home. Jesus comes to help those who can't help themselves. "It's the sick who need a doctor," said Jesus. Martin Luther King used to say, "You tell us to pull ourselves up by the bootlaces. What if you haven't got any bootlaces?" Jesus comes to those. Jesus said that he came to help us to be born again, to be new people, recreated, resuscitated, revived, resurrected, to give us life in all its abundance, that our joy might be complete, that we might be able to be all that we can be with his help. Are we ready to be all we can be with his help, individually, as a congregation? Are we ready to dare to dream, to push the boat out, to burst our eggshell, to follow wherever the Master leads? Jesus spoke of life as being one long wedding reception. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride, and together we're rejoicing. We're so easily fooled into thinking life is all gloom and doom. There are ups and downs, but our basic philosophical outlook on life ought to be, Jesus says, he's with us, we're with him, we're together. What's to be sad about? There's no point in having our coach, our personal guru, our saviour, if we don't let him push us, if we don't go with him, if we don't share his outlook. He knows how far to stretch our elastic before it will ping. Trust him. The programme on television, Strictly Come Dancing, if you think about it, is basically experts teach beginners how to dance. It's an unequal partnership of a stallion and a donkey. But the expert gets alongside the beginner and teaches them the steps. But more than the steps, the feel of the music, the feel of the rhythm, they try to make them into dancers who don't just do dances, they dance. They think dance. They are dance. They are dancers. And then the frog becomes a prince or a princess. The donkey is no longer a donkey, it becomes a stallion. Jesus came to earth at Bethlehem. Jesus comes to Saltcoats, to you and me, and he dances with us through life. His influence rubs off on us. He helps us to really be livers. He doesn't just teach us teachings. He doesn't just give us vision. He helps us to persevere, to learn, to pick up from him, learn from mistakes. He gives us a love of life, a joie de vivre. He himself rubs off on us till we begin to think on his wavelength, to think like he thinks, to speak like he speaks, to act like he acts, to become chips off the old block, to become Christ-like. Other people then notice the difference. You sound like him, you look like him, you're acting like him. You're a new man or woman. You're a new creation. You're born again. The people who take part in Strictly Come Dancing, when they're asked about it, they always say the same two things. They say it was tremendous fun, but it was also very hard work. Such is life. If you put in the hard work, you can find it to be tremendous fun. The more you put into things, the more you get out of things. It applies to homework, employment, hobbies and skills, relationships, marriages, discipleship. It would be unfair if it was otherwise. So Jesus calls us to dance with him, to live with him. And those who do find it hard work. He's very high standards. It's difficult to keep up with Jesus. But those that go with him find it the thrill of their lives. Their whole life is one big thrill. We live in a time and a generation when people want instant solutions, easy shortcuts. There's instant coffee, instant suntans, instant success. Lose weight with no pain. Learn French in 60 minutes. Happiness comes in a jar. We live in a time and place when people want to escape the hard work. Wine, woman, and song. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. We live in a time when people are fundamentally miserable in the vain pursuits of pleasures. When they find that the ways I've outlined don't work. And Ecclesiastes was there centuries ago. 3,000 years ago, Ecclesiastes writes, I decided to enjoy myself and find out what happiness is. But I found it's useless. I discovered that pleasure does you no good. I decided to cheer myself up with wine and have a good time. I thought that this might be the best way people can spend their short lives on earth. Anything I wanted, I got. I didn't deny myself any pleasure. I realized that it didn't mean a thing. It was like chasing the wind, of no use at all. St. Augustine, the great playboy of the ancient world, looking back on his life, said, people are restless until they find their rest in God. We live in a restless world. They've tried a lot of different things and they've found them all to be failing. They keep searching in vain. The Buddhists come along and say, you're approaching it from the wrong end of the stick. Don't increase your appetites that never get satisfied. Lower your appetite. Look for less. Expect less. Good Scottish philosophy. Think the worst and at least you'll get cheered up if it's not the worst. What a pair of party poopers they all are. Jesus comes on the scene as the life and soul of the party. The common people heard him gladly. His accuser said he's a wine bibber. When he changed water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he made it 120 gallons. Life is a wedding feast. With the bridegroom, we are celebrating. We're full of life. Jesus burst into a miserable world in the first century. He was a breath of fresh air. He can light up the darkness at any time and place for anyone. He gives hope and despair, truth amidst lies. He is the way from hell to heaven. But Jesus' happiness is not as the world would offer it. His happiness isn't just hedonism, pleasure seeking, indulgence, license, escapisms, wine, woman and song, self-seeking, bashing the piano. Jesus' way of happiness is the hard work way, learning to play the piano, self-giving, focusing on others more than self, following him, taking our cross, being prepared to lose our life in order to gain our life. There's a paradox. Happiness is found when we really believe and really practice that there's more to life than happiness. If we're always clinging on to our happiness, we will lose it. If we're willing to lose our happiness serving him and others, we will gain happiness. Oh, the joy when the hard work pays off. Are you ready for a new year of hard work and real joy? Focusing on Jesus, following him wherever he may lead us, praying, seeking his will, reading his word, dancing day by day with him in the dance studio of daily life and its hard knocks, working for the kingdom of God, loving and serving others. The last thought is this, that the hard work is in itself a pleasure. Dancers love dancing. Athletes love running. Footballers love training. It's not the necessary evil to get the fun bit later. Sir Chris Hoy said, I don't go on a bike to win Olympic medals. I go on a bike because I like going a bike. Andy Murray, when injured, considered stopping tennis, but he came back again because it dawned on him, I like playing tennis. Why should I stop? Beethoven enjoyed playing his music. The secret of life is to never have to sacrifice, because what you're doing is what you like to do. Discipleship should be a joy and a pleasure. What makes us tick? What gets us out of bed? What is the most precious thing in the world? A pearl of great price. It shouldn't really be a burdensome duty. We ought to be loving God, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves, loving life, because we love them. Let me stop with that thought. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have put your hand into our hands, and you take us by the hand. And we willingly put our hand into your hands, and we willingly take your lead. So take our time, our talents, our money, and our lives, and use us in this coming year in your service for your glory and the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Now let's sing together, Lord of the Dance. You'll find it on your sheets.
Danced in the morning when the world was begun. Danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. Came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. Bethlehem, I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Dance, said he, and I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Let's pray now the dancer's prayer. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for crossing the dance floor of life, and for inviting us to join you in the dance of our lives. Lord Jesus, we confess that we are hesitant about dancing with you. We don't know how to chassis and skip and pas de bas and waltz through life. We don't know all the right steps. We've tripped and fallen many times before. Lord, lead us and guide us and sweep us off our feet. Give us the wisdom and discernment to know what you want us to do. Loving Lord of the dance, save us from the cowardice which refuses to dance. Save us from the laziness which refuses to learn your steps. Save us from the coldness which refuses to feel. Save us from the distrust which refuses to follow a lead. Forgive us when we try to take control and tell you how to do things. Forgive us when we block all your attempts to woo us. Forgive us when we take our eyes off you. Forgive us when we spurn you in favor of another or even just ourselves. O Lord of the dance, we thank you for being our constant, faithful, loving dancing partner, waltzing through life with us step by step. We know it takes two to tango, and we thank you for not leaving us to our own devices. So, Lord of the dance, keep us all in time and fit us for your heavenly ballroom. Amen. Well, I shouldn't say amen. Let's now make our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord, we commit to you those who are ill today. We think particularly of Jim Forsyth and Molly Aitchison and Peter Curran. We think of Margaret Curlett, George Murray and Harry Duff, Ruth Cowan, Betty McCubbin, Peggy Parsons, Mamie Hamilton and Derek Gallagher. And we commit to your loving care all those who are bereaved. We think of the family and friends of Karen Stalker, whose funeral is on Wednesday the 15th of January at 1 o'clock. We pray especially for her mum, Anne. And we pray for the wider world. We think of Donald Trump assassinating the second most powerful man in Iran, next to the Ayatollah, breaking a long-standing convention of never killing the leaders of other countries. And now Iran seeks revenge. We pray for the people of Australia, where there's a national emergency with hundreds of bushfires, 100,000 people evacuated, many homes destroyed, many people have died, an estimated 500 million animals have burned. There are 72,000 volunteer firefighters giving up their normal day jobs to help with the cause. We pray for Hong Kong, with 1 million protesters on the streets last week. We pray for Libya with civil war, and Turkey's now sending troops to Libya. We think of floods in Indonesia, killing 28 people this week. This week, 70 protesters were killed in Somalia. Last year in Britain, there were 50,000 knife crimes. Last year and the last two decades have been the warmest in Britain. We think of global warming and the climate changes. And we pray for, as a presbytery, we pray for St. Cuthbert's Parish Church and the Reverend Sarah Nicol. And we pray for all your people in every situation. Bless us all in this new year. Amen. Now let's sing together hymn 760 in Mission Praise, When We Walk With the Lord. Just before I say the benediction, I've got an announcement to make. Would you all please be seated? I'll just keep you a moment. But I want to tell you this all at the same time and not pick out one or two people ahead of the rest. So it's to say that in May this year, I'll be 65. So at the end of May this year, I'll be retiring. So I know it comes as a shock, and I was trying to pick the right Sunday to announce it. I didn't want to spoil Christmas, but there's a rule in the Church of Scotland that you have to inform the church 6 months before you retire. So I'm stretching that boundary already. So I just feel that I have to say it today to everybody at the same time. When 2020 leads us to new horizons, it'll be new for myself, but it'll be new for you as a congregation. There's 5-6 months yet, so we've time to discuss things in more detail. We'll have a board meeting on Tuesday anyway, and feel free to ask me anything, come up to me. But we'll work on this together, but the time has come and it's ripe. I've thought about things for a while, and not only my own circumstances, but in the congregation's circumstances, we've reached this point. I think there's a ripeness. My own circumstances, I've been here, it will be in May, 17 years, on the 31st of May, which would make me the third longest serving minister of this congregation, behind John Robertson at 22 years, and God, his nickname was God, Mr. Spottiswood, he was 41 years. No chance of beating that. My own circumstances include the fact that my wife, Patricia, is ill every day. So I'm a carer as well as a minister. But we also had bad news this week. On New Year's morning, of all times, I had to put the dog down. He walked the whole of Ardrossan Beach, but then his back legs collapsed and he was paralysed, and it wasn't a big decision to make. We'd been there 3 years previously, and it was always, the vet said, he'll do anything, but one day it'll happen, the back will go, and that'll be that. So I had to rush up to the vet school on New Year's morning and put him down, having walked the beach, not thinking he would be ill that day. Also, my mother has dementia. She's been ill for a long time, but now it's official that she has dementia. She's 87, my dad's 87. He's getting demented looking after her. He's struggling to cope with all that. So we are moving northwards up to be alongside the parents, because not only my family, but Patricia's family live up there as well. So you can see why all the factors come in my own life. I have to go up north soon. And, well, other people retire too, so you're entitled to your retirement. I don't intend to retire in the sense of fade away. I'm full of life and energy in my job, my vocation, and I'm sure I'll be quite active. I'm inspired by Andrew Taylor, for example. Jamie Stewart of the Scots Gospel, Glasgow Bible, he only started that career at 72. So life doesn't end, but life has difficult times. Life won't end for here, and there are difficult times. So I meant what I said in the sermon today. We follow Jesus, personally and together. Where that leads, who knows? Only he knows. But if we follow him, it will not be dark days. It will be exciting times. The excitement comes from him being with us, taking us where he's leading us. So it's in that faith we step out together for the next 5 months. And even when we separate, we'll be stepping out with the same Jesus. Will you please stand for the benediction? Now may the wisdom of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit May the wisdom guide you. May the strength of God uphold you. And may the peace of God enfold you. From this day onwards, throughout 2020 and forevermore.